Hey everyone, this is Brian from the Tennis IQ Podcast. Josh and I hope that you are enjoying the content and discussions that we put out week after week. If you'd like to support the podcast and help us to continue to produce quality episodes, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership. Currently, we have three tiers of support: the fan level at $3 per month, the supporter level at $7 per month, and the champion level at $20 per month. Benefits of joining the Tennis IQ podcast community include episode transcripts, participation in book club discussions, and access to monthly masterclasses with me and Josh. For more on these benefits of support, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership. Thank you so much. And now, on to the show. Welcome to the Tennis IQ Podcast. I'm Brian Lomax.
And I'm Josh Berger. And in today's episode, we are going to be talking a little bit about the quote-unquote Stockdale paradox. Talk a little bit about Jim Stockdale, who this concept is named after. And we'll talk about whether we think that it is indeed a paradox or not. So a little bit about Jim Stockdale. He was a fighter pilot and aviator who served in the Navy for over 30 years, in particular during the Vietnam War. But it's really his endurance and his leadership as a prisoner of war that stand out more than anything. He was shot down over North Vietnam in 1965. He spent over 7 years as a prisoner of war, much of which in the brutal what is called the Hanoi Hilton prison. He was the highest ranking officer there and became a symbol of resilience for his fellow prisoners. He faced torture and but organized different resistance efforts, creating a covert communication system and code of conduct to help them survive. He was awarded the Medal of Freedom for his efforts. After his release, he continued to have a distinguished career. He served as president of the Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island, and also was a vice president candidate in the U.S.
And so the Stockdale paradox is really, in some ways, the concept is a joint venture between Jim Stockdale and Jim Collins, who in his book, Good to Great, which is a lot about how businesses prosper, how they go from from obviously good to being a great and successful company. And the two of them looked at Stockdale's experience as a prisoner of war and understood that there were really kind of two seemingly contradictory ideas that helped him survive as well as others. And so I asked Gemini, Google's AI, to give us a summary of what the Stockdale paradox is, and here's what Gemini says. It's about navigating difficult situations. It emphasizes the importance of holding two seemingly contradictory ideas at the same time. Number one, confronting the brutal facts. You need to honestly assess the challenges and hardships of your situation, no matter how bleak. So I think that's about reality, embracing the difficulties of reality. And number two, maintaining unwavering faith. Despite the harsh reality, you must also believe you can and will ultimately prevail. And I think that's, whether we call it faith, hope, optimism, these are, you know, important concepts in this, you know, as it says, seemingly contradictory ideas. And so, Josh, I think that this actually, while this is really more for life and dealing with difficult situations, this is something that tennis players really need to succeed in matches. And I think if we're looking at tennis as a means of practicing your character and aspiring to become your best self, tennis becomes a vehicle for practicing these ideas. And just want to get your initial thoughts on these ideas, on this paradox.
Yeah, I completely agree that It's not necessarily a paradox. I think that these two ideas that are set up as sort of opposing, the optimism and the sort of embrace of the facts, the embrace of reality, the acceptance of reality, should not and are not actually opposing. I think they really are interlinked in terms of a successful mindset, whether it's as a prisoner of war, whether it's in the business world, whether it's in a tennis match. Because I think that there are always going to be those realities, right? Whether the reality is, okay, I'm going, I don't know how long I'm going to be in this prison. Whether the reality is, the future is uncertain, whether that's in a in that sort of a situation, whether it's in a tennis match, whether it's, somewhere else, whether it's, you go into a match and you say, hey, I don't know what it's going to take to beat my opponent today. Is it going to take me playing for 3 hours? Is it going to take, is it going to take me playing long rallies to outlast my opponent? Is it going to take me changing up my tactics? Is it going to take a certain degree of mental toughness? Right. So I think part of it is the acceptance of the reality and even sometimes the acceptance of the uncertainty of the reality, with this optimism, this unwavering, maybe unshakable optimism that you can get through it, that you do have the tools to get through it, that you can find a way ultimately. And I think, I know we've talked about this in the past, I think a lot of tennis is finding a way, is problem solving. It's not a sport like figure skating where it's one player's skills just paired up against the other player's skills. And okay, this person's forehand is a 8.3 and this person's forehand is an 8.1 and serve. Okay, this person's a little bit stronger, so then that person's going to win. No, it really is a chess match in certain ways. It really is about problem solving and finding a way. So I think it's these two ideas of the acceptance of the situation and the optimism that you can find a way, you can figure it out, and that things can ultimately turn in your favor are not opposing, but actually very interlinked.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think one of the things that sort of opened my eyes, Josh, about whether this is really a paradox or not is looking, you're reading about a conversation between Jim Collins, the author of Good to Great, and Admiral Stockdale. And Collins asked him, all right, well, what about the people who didn't survive? What was their issue? And he said, oh, that's easy. It was the optimists. And I kind of bristled at that answer because if I compare the ones who didn't survive and the ones who did, actually optimism might be the thing they had in common in that they all believed in a good outcome, right? That to me, that's a big part of being optimistic is you believe that there's a positive outcome. The part that they disagreed on was the reality of what it's going to take for that outcome to come true. So the ones that Stockdale described as not making it were the ones who thought they would get out by like the next Christmas or the next month. And so the reality was that wasn't the optimists who failed. It was more like the people who were delusional about their own reality there. Maybe it's excessive optimism, perhaps. Maybe that's how it's baked in. But I think understanding what reality is a really important part of being successful, not only in life, but certainly in a tennis match. Most matches that you play are not going to be easy. And as we've mentioned many times, you have to finish matches. There's no clock to rescue you. So you don't actually know when it might end. It could be, I don't know, I've had matches as short as 20 minutes. On both sides. But I've also had matches that have gone over 4 hours. And so anywhere in between there, it could happen, right? So there's this uncertainty about the level of difficulty it's going to take to get there. And so I thought, well, that's certainly one theme, this idea of unshakable self-belief. We've brought that up several times. We've talked about the paper, what is this thing called mental toughness, in which the important attributes of mental toughness were described by elite athletes, and an unshakable self-belief was like the number one. That throughout a match or throughout a performance, you always believe that you can win, or you always believe you can achieve your goals. And so I think we see that here in the Stockdale paradox, that this unshakable part, you know, because I think also it's not mentioned so much in Stockdale's story, but it is, I think, as you mentioned, when we were before we started recording with Viktor Frankl and Man's Search for Meaning, is that those who became hopeless also perished. Mm-hmm. So this idea of hope and optimism and faith, I think they're different words, obviously, and in English they obviously share some common characteristics. They may not all be exactly the same, but they are important in this. And so I think it's important that as a tennis player, you go through a match believing that you can ultimately succeed in whatever you're doing. And at the same time, of course, embracing that reality. But I want to get your thoughts, Josh, just on the belief part, the optimism part, having hope in a match, and how important you think that is.
I think it's critical. I think regardless of the situation in a match, whether it's a close match, right? One of these, you know, when whether it's a battle, whether it is a match where you're winning by quite a bit or losing by quite a bit, I think it's critical really in any of these situations. I think it often can be the difference maker, or one of the difference makers, in terms of not only who wins and loses, but, you know, I think even if we think about a situation where a player goes down a break in the first set, if, you know, there's different ways to look at that, right? There's the approach, okay, oh, here we go again. That sort of approach where, you know, almost expecting that it's not that they're not going to be successful, or maybe they've lost to this player in the past. Maybe they haven't done as well against these sorts of opponents in the past, maybe a certain playing style. So I think that would be maybe more of a defeatist, or more of a pessimistic mentality, where I think an optimistic mentality is, all right, I'm down a break. Like, what can I do to get it back? How can I problem solve? How can I try to find a way here? You know, and I think that mentality can come up in a lot of different situations, but I think it really can be the difference maker. I think that especially in big moments, whether that's a third set, whether that's tiebreaker, whether that's, you know, different key moments, you know, the player who really believes in themselves and believes that they have the tools, believes that they have, you know, that they can find a way, is going to be the one that ultimately, yeah, puts themselves in a position to try to be successful. Does it guarantee success, or does it guarantee wins? No, but I think in a lot of ways it helps set you up for that, because it's sort of that belief that something good is around the corner. Do you know how close it is? No, which I think sort of this paradox outlines, right? You don't know that it's going to be by the end of the, you know, in the Jim Stockdale example, we don't know that it's going to be by the end of the year or by the end of the month. And I think those are the people that ultimately didn't make it, right? The ones that maybe were more delusional in their way of seeing things, right? Oh, I heard that, you know, we're going to be free by the end of the month, and then they're let down. And then maybe they feel that way again and just consistently let down, which I think sort of beats out that
optimism. Yeah, maybe that leads to like the lack of hope, right?
Exactly. Where it sounds like Jim was able to maintain this balance where he said, you know, he knew he would get out eventually, but he also knew that it would be a while. He had that realistic way of looking at the situation where he didn't know exactly what the timeline was. Nobody knew what the timeline was going to be. So he knew it, but he knew that he'd get out eventually. So I think that sort of, that same sort of approach where it's like, hey, I don't know what's going to happen out here in this match. I know it's going to be tough. I know I'm going to have to use all my skills and abilities to do it. I know I might have to suffer through different moments of this match, but I know that I have the tools. I know I can do it. So I think it's that same sort of, I don't want to say paradox because I really don't think it's a paradox, but that same sort of interplay between those two different factors that we can absolutely, think back to different moments where maybe we've had more of that or less of that in different matches and think about the outcomes. But also just I think it's important to be able to hold both of those beliefs and both of those traits at the same time.
Because I think the difficulty of the situation can chip away at the belief. It can chip away at your optimism, and that could be the score, whatever's going on, whatever may be stressing you in a match, can start to maybe break down that optimism and maybe even begin to shift it to some pessimism. And I'm pretty sure we had an episode where we talked about there's really no value in pessimism if you want to win a match. It actually just guarantees generally the negative result. So I like putting these things together because there is an interplay here. Yes, there are independent concepts. The idea of being optimistic or hopeful or having faith that you will succeed. And then, of course, that life is hard. And not always fair, and that's reality, and we have to accept that. Fighting reality is generally a losing proposition, as the author Byron Katie says. Fighting reality, is what would she say? Something like, when you fight reality, you will lose, but only 100% of the time. So, kind of a cute way of saying it, yet you're going to lose if you fight reality. You have to embrace reality. You have to understand reality. And a coach I worked with many years ago named Steve Host, I believe he's at the USTA National Campus now, he used to tell all of his tournament players, expect to play three sets. Every match, expect it to go three sets. Because I think he was noticing is that some of his players would get bummed out when a match went three sets. They wanted to be over in two. I mean, don't we all? especially on the winning side. But if you're expecting to play three, but you don't have to, great. But if you are in a third set, like, all right, I expected to be here. I knew this would be hard. And a lot of it's just sort of setting yourself up for learning to embrace that reality and understand that, all right, it's going to be hard, not always fair. But I'm capable of doing this. That's what tennis is training us for. It's letting you know you can go from the beginning to the end, believing in yourself. Also, understanding is going to be really hard, but the longer that you believe in yourself, the better chance you give yourself of winning or coming out with a positive outcome in some way. So, I like how we're really taking, in many ways, with this paradox, two independent concepts, and we're really marrying them together to become something even stronger. Because I think you and I are in agreement. We don't really see this as a paradox. We see this as two independent ideas that, when combined, are a necessary way of looking at life and looking at the sport of tennis. Doesn't mean it's easy, right? Because reality can affect hope, optimism, faith. And when hope, optimism, faith are not grounded in reality, it can lead to massive disappointment and maybe even getting into a loss of those things, maybe pessimism and hopelessness. So, can we really maintain these two things and combine them as phrased by, we'll just refer to it as the paradox, but as phrased by this concept, right? Confronting reality, and yet, no matter what, maintaining that unshakable self-belief, which we know is a huge part of being mentally tough at the elite level.
I really like that idea of expecting that you're going to have to play three sets because it can absolutely happen. You can absolutely, have to play three sets. And if you win the first set and things aren't going so well in the second, then it can almost turn into this to a panic. Like, well, I was just supposed to, I was supposed to win this match easily. I was supposed to be straight sets. I think we can also expect, if we're in a deuce game, that maybe that deuce game could go for a long time, right? Or if, we expect, just because it's 40 love, can we expect that this might still be a tough game? Can we expect that when we're serving for a match, our opponent might come back? Our opponent's going to want to come back, where that it's going to be tough, right? If we expect that our opponent's going to fight back, that it's going to be tough to close out the match, then we're going to be more ready for it. That doesn't mean we're not optimistic about our abilities to close out the match, but I think if we can expect that they're going to fight back in that situation, that we're going to be a whole lot more ready for it, rather than a situation where we're expecting it to be easy. Oh, it's the third set, I'm serving at 5-4. This should be easy. Whereas if instead of that, we can hold the belief in our own abilities, but also expect the challenges. And maybe they won't happen. Maybe our opponent misses four returns, and okay, that's it. But more often than not, they're gonna want to stay in the match. And if, I think if we can accept that, just like that coach, and I love that. Just like that coach was talking about expect to play a third setter, expect it to be a battle. Expect that your opponent's going to fight back in tough situations. Expect your opponent will be mentally tough in different situations. Maybe you'll be surprised, and those things won't be the case, but at least you'll be ready for it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think if we can hold these two concepts together, then it leads to me, it results in a few things that I think are very positive. One is we can be more present moment minded. We can be more in the present because we're accepting reality and we believe in ourselves. So what do we want to do now, right? The acronym, what's important now? We can actually focus on that when we have unshakable self-belief. And we understand that it's going to be hard. So we're not complaining. We're not fighting reality. We're accepting reality. And when we accept reality, we can then move on to solutions and thinking about what we want to do. And that allows us then to use, our discipline of our habits, our routines, how we play points. That stuff comes more easily because we're more present moment minded. And we can, really display a little bit more of equanimity, equanimity coming from the Latin balanced mind. We can be more, understanding of like where we need to be. We're not thrown off necessarily. We will be thrown off by different things, but can we come back to a balanced mind? It's much more easy to do that or easier to do that when we understand reality and when we also are maintaining that unshakable self-belief in our ability to prevail. We may not always prevail, as you said earlier, Josh, but believing you can will obviously give you a much better chance. So that's what I like about this paradox, Josh, because it actually has like a benefit beyond it. It allows us to operate better in the real world of a tennis match and in the real world, again, where tennis can help us practice that. So it can help us focus more on the moment, focus on what we need to do, what's important now, to be more disciplined with our habits and routines, and then also to maintain a calm and balanced mind while we're out there competing in this very difficult reality. Again, all of this gives us just a much better chance of succeeding in the end.
Absolutely. To me, it has a lot to do with acceptance. And as you said, and I agree with this, the real difference between those that made it and those that didn't was those that maybe, it wasn't the optimistic factor. It seemed to be more the realistic factor. It was the ones that maybe held certain delusions or maybe were overly optimistic to the point of, it being more of a delusion than reality. And I think really what we want to do is we want to be accepting of reality. And I think this idea of acceptance is really key. And we talked about, we can talk about acceptance in different areas, right? There's the mindful approach in terms of, trying to be accepting of different situations, being accepting of our thoughts, just being really accepting of reality. And yeah, I think that, you know, once we are aware of it, once we, any sort of situation, once we're aware and accepting of the situation at hand, then we can do something about it. It's the same with a thought, right? Once we're aware and accepting of a thought, then we can decide to do something about it. And I think, you know, you brought up Viktor Frankl, and, you know, in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he talks about, you know, being able to find meaning, being able to have choice. And I think once we're able to be accepting, once we're able to accept reality and really understand things for what they actually are, then we're able to decide what comes next. Then we're able to choose, what does our response to this situation look like? Whether that response is somebody in a concentration camp or in a prison, whether that response is to a certain thought that we have or a certain situation that we find ourselves in, whether that response is to something that happens in a tennis match. But I think that that all really starts with acceptance. That all really starts with acceptance of the situation, being able to soberly look at what is actually happening, and then decide what you want to do about it, how you want to respond. You know, being able to choose your response rather than reacting, I think is a really important concept. Again, it's, I think it's a, can be a subtle difference in certain ways, you know, reacting being more so instinctive, sort of that split second reaction. Okay, something happens and I just react, or something happens and I'm able to slow things down, be more thoughtful, and choose our response. So I think this idea of acceptance is really key, which can lead to the type of response that we ultimately want.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, I always love the response versus reaction thing. I think the more that we're thinking about responding, it's more thoughtful, right? It takes the past into account, but also tells us how we want to move forward. Reacting, I think, is a lot about a, like you said, almost an instinctual, emotional piece that tends to be more about the past than it is about what do I want to do now. I guess for me, one of the last thoughts I have on this, Josh, is that maybe it's like this concept of immediate gratification versus delayed gratification. And I think that's harder in today's world than it was in the past, given our access to information is nearly instantaneous. You know, we both just did a little bit of research on James Stockdale, just who he was and things like that in a couple minutes. If this had been 30 years ago, well, we probably would have had to drive to the library, you know, get a book, right? Maybe look at some microfiche or something, maybe, yeah. Or there might've been a computer or something, right? It would have taken a lot longer. And so where I'm going with this is that when people train in the sport of tennis, we want results fast. We want improvements fast. Part of embracing reality is also knowing that these things don't come quickly, especially in a sport like tennis, where we've discussed, you know, the technical difficulty of learning this sport it's difficult. This sport is not easy to master. And the more that we embrace that reality, accept that reality, I think the better off that we all are. You know, they've had those studies where they ask people if they would like to take a pill and be an Olympic champion versus going through the journey of actually doing the work. I think something like over 50% of the respondents said, yeah, they take the pill. And that's kind of like you're missing the true joy of the journey and the pride and satisfaction that comes from going through that journey. And this again comes back down to, if you can accept the reality of this sport that you have engaged in is very difficult to learn, it's very difficult to win matches, and the idea is just to keep working at it. Keep, as like Ryan Holiday says, keep sweeping the floor every day. You don't just sweep the floor once. You sweep it every single day. Follow your discipline. Follow your habits. Understand that your work at some point in the future, have that belief, will be rewarded. But don't expect it to come tomorrow. And I think that's one of the things, again, that the Stockdale paradox helps us with, is embracing this idea of hard work, embracing this idea of it's okay to delay our gratification. We don't need to have to perfect this today. We don't always need to have to win today, but keep thinking about where we're going, the player you're becoming, that kind of thing. And I think the more, coming back to your thought, Josh, about accepting and embracing reality, the easier this becomes.
Absolutely. And the piece that you were talking about in terms of Ryan Holiday, and he has some really great work where he's, you know, talks about stoicism, and I think sort of repurposes a lot of these, you know, ancient 2000 year or so philosophy to a modern audience, which is wonderful. But to me, it actually reminded me of a Zen phrase or proverb, which is, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. Which the idea is, you know, it is a process. It does take time. It's not that instant gratification, right? Whether that is, you know, the technical piece of tennis, which is certainly challenging, right? You need, I think, if we compare tennis to some other sports, you need a lot of different types of physical qualities, or the mental piece of tennis, right? So I think sometimes people want to work on their mental game, you know, rather than wanting to work on their mental game and put in the work, they want it to be a quick fix. They want it to be a quick, simple fix. And then they find, you know, oh, it's a process, like just like the physical side of the game. So I think this idea came to mind because, or this proverb came to mind because, you know, it really is that idea that, okay, you're never really finished. It's like, okay, we are going through this process, and, you know, that leads to enlightenment, that chopping wood, carrying water, putting in the work. And then once we get there, you know, even if there is, whether there is that finish line or not, once we've gotten to that point where we're aiming towards, you know, can we continue to still put in the work, right? There can be more goals. There can be more milestones.
Or more enlightenment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, I think it's a really important concept. And I think just, you know, what's interesting is just that this idea, of this, you know, so-called paradox, I think just leads to so many different concepts. I think there's just so many different pieces of, you know, of this. So, I like this particular angle as well in terms of the process piece and the work ethic and all of that needs to go into it in order to fully embrace the situation, in order to fully embrace the realities of a situation and what's required to really handle that situation as well as you want to.
Thank you for adding that proverb. That was really great, because it also makes me think about the discipline that goes into it, you know. Any other final thoughts before we summarize?
No. I think that, you know, I think we covered it as far as I'm concerned. I think, you know, people can think about how this, maybe certain situations where, whether on the tennis court or off the court, where they feel like they've maybe embraced this well, and really accepted the realities of a situation, yet chose to be optimistic. And I think I use that word choice intentionally, because I think it really is a choice. I think it's something within our control. And maybe other situations where, you know, where we didn't have one of those two pieces, either we didn't have the optimism piece, or we weren't accepting of the realities of a situation. So I think, you know, people can think back to maybe certain situations where one or both of those two pieces weren't in play, and maybe compare that to situations where they felt that they had, you know, both of those two concepts sort of working together, and think about, you know, the impact of that.
Yeah. So just to summarize, two parts of the Stockdale paradox: confronting the brutal facts of reality. Life is hard. Life is not always fair. It will take longer than you think. And then maintaining that unwavering optimism, self-belief, faith, confidence, however you choose to look at that, or a combination of those concepts, that you'll ultimately prevail in the end, that you believe in a good outcome. And so, as we've discussed, is this a paradox? We don't really think so. We think you should link these things together and go into matches, understanding that these two things are quite complementary, and if you can combine them, which is not easy, you'll have more success, you'll have more personal satisfaction on the court. And I think it's a key ingredient to great tennis. So that's our show for today. Thank you all for listening. For more on today's episode, please check out the show notes. If you have any feedback or questions for me and Josh, please email us at tennisiqpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you're enjoying the content that Josh and I discuss on the show, please rate and review the podcast so other tennis enthusiasts can find it more easily. Additionally, to be notified of new episodes, please subscribe to the show on your podcast platform of choice, including YouTube. And you can also check us out on Instagram. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership, where you can learn about the benefits of being part of the Tennis IQ podcast community. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon in our next episode.